CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning. How long have we been doing this?
How long has this show been going?
About 40 years.
400 years.
Which iteration?
No, I mean...
of six...
How long... Okay, let's... How long have I been... Okay, well, clearly I had a stroke there, so that's the end of that. All right. Jesus, Stroke Awareness Week, is it really?
Douglas back already.
So funny. All right, when did we start doing that morning show on terrestrial radio? Because then I want to know how many mornings I've been waking up, like 5 days a week on average.
Oh.
Hey, thanks, Mpundo. I know here it's going to be 6 years in May.
Uh-huh.
Right, 1st of May it'll be 6 years. Plus, I know we did 8 years of the morning show, could it be?
I have to look at my LinkedIn profile. Cause
oh, really? You've got it written down there? Good for you.
At least timelines, you mean.
Well, it's just a thumb suck. Like, let's just take... let's say it's 8 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, let's say 8 years plus another 6 years here.
14.
That's 14 years, all right.
Oy.
On average, let's say I took off a month, which is impossible. But let's say I took off a month, because I know it was less than that.
Each year?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if we multiply 14 by 12, I'm going to do this on the calculator. I won't get it.
Yeah, I've got mine out.
168. And let's say I'm minus 14, so I minus a month of every year.
What for?
Well, 1 month of every year that I was on leave, maybe.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Got you.
Or sick days or whatever it might be. It's 154 mm-hmm. months of doing these morning shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Multiply that by 3 hours.
Shouldn't you multiply the days first?
Or
does it matter?
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter, really.
What was bod mass? Brackets of multiply.
Oh, my God.
Okay, go with what you were saying.
Okay, so
we'll
multiply by
it.
Three. And obviously, we've been doing 2 hours here for the last year. So I'm going to say multiply it by three. We'll average it out.
Yeah, including pre-records, that counts.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
And then that'll give you hours. And then, obviously, we have 5 days a week, roughly. So let's say 22 days of every other month that's left. Okay? So 22. Okay. That gives us 10,164 hours.
You mean 10,164 hours?
Hey, is that from a musical? It is.
Yes,
hey.
It is.
Oh, I hate musicals. I have been I've been strong-armed into going to see the Rocky Horror Picture Show this week.
I've heard it's a great show, though.
You know what?
The one in Monty.
That type of stuff's fun when you're already in your seat. But the whole build-up and having to go there and...
Now, some of the people, because we're going in a group of like 8 people, I didn't do the inviting. I was invited. And I said yes because they're fun people to go with. Now, some of them want to dress up and all kinds of shit I am not taking part in. I am going to arrive there. I'm going to go for the... We're having dinner. Going for the show and fucking off straight afterwards. Fucking off. Not leaving. Fucking off.
See, the thing is, now you have that in mind, you're probably going to end up having fun and staying on and waking up with a surprise hangover.
And doing the time warp again.
I don't think so. So, basically, okay, then we've done 10,000 hours of mornings.
Mm-hmm. I just worked mine out in years, and it's 22 years.
How do you work?
No, but you...
for 22 years, I've been getting up mm-mm. at like 3 or 4.
Oh, on top of... the morning show, like as in you're dialing it.
No, so 22 years ago I started early mornings.
Yeah, how's anyone not understanding this?
No, but that's not possible because you were doing afternoons with me.
Yes, but I was writing news at the SABC.
Oh, so you were
from
okay.
4 in the morning.
No wonder you were so grumpy in those
days. Yeah, I was working 13 hours
okay.
a day.
All right, okay, got
6 days a week.
Oh, okay. That's almost as old as I am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, let's just get into this morning, shall we? Let's just focus on the moment.
Yeah,
let's focus on the moment.
It's
by the way, I made a mistake on Friday. I thought Leanne had written she had a lunch on Thursday. Client lunch that turned into a massive party in the evening. Turns out it was a launch. I didn't.
Yes.
You know how you sometimes read a word and you don't really read the word. So it was launch. It wasn't lunch.
It only started at 7 p.m.
Yeah, so Bulelo pointed it out to me, and he said, oh, you're an idiot, basically. Mm-mm. And I said, yes, okay, well, I didn't realize that. And then I went on this whole thing about how Leanne still got it. She can have big drinking nights. And meanwhile, what you weren't. You were working.
Yeah. Up until boring. Really, yeah, it was a long and very – and it was a nightclub-y vibe as well. It was the opening of a restaurant, but it had DJs and
– Oh.
So – it just tires you out, man.
All right.
I woke up. I couldn't even move my arms to get my phone.
What time did you eventually wake up?
When you called. Well, just before.
Yeah, when you couldn't string a sentence together. I told you that's how tired you were.
Mash says, morning, guys. Hope you had a good weekend. I watched the Bombshell movie that you were going on about last week. Awesome movie. Great performance by all the characters. But Jesus, I didn't recognize Nicole Kidman until the end credits when I saw her, who her character was.
Mm.
Kept waiting for her throughout the movie. She's changed a slight bit. My word, I was shocked. Didn't know she did all that work. But good performance nonetheless. I think, Mash, you reckon that she had plastic surgery. They actually used prosthetics in the movie. Mm. That's what makes it so interesting. Like, they had makeup specialists who used to... They would do Charlize's eyes to make her eyes look like Megyn Kelly.
Mm. Yes, and I watched like that whole thing.
Bit of plastic. Amazing,
3 hours a day.
Yes.
She would just read through her lines.
I'm obsessed with things, and when I get obsessed with things, I need to know everything. I watched Megyn Kelly reacting to the movie.
Oh, that round table.
Yeah. With her husband and like three of the other girls, and how much of it was true and how much of it was made up.
Mm-hmm. You see, I wasn't crazy when I said I watched the movie with notes.
Right.
I was literally taking
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So fascinating. And then I saw an interview Charlize did, I think on CNN, where she was responding to Megyn Kelly responding to the movie.
Mm.
I was like, oh, God, I'm down this rabbit hole. I'm so deep into this now, I can't get out. And then I was suddenly looking up like how much money they paid out Roger Ailes from Fox News and Bill O'Reilly. And I got sucked into this thing in a big way. But what was interesting about it is that Charlize says they actually did physical prosthetics on her.
Yeah.
That she would take off.
They even did an internal nasal mold.
I mean, wow.
To change her structures because her nostrils were narrower. So they had to put in this plastic mold, 3D printed mold to push her nostrils out. And that changed her voice so that she had to get used to.
Well, she said she was practicing the Megyn Kelly voice because Megan's got this deep voice for a woman. And Charlize says she was practicing that voice so much that she actually lost her voice about a week before they had to start filming.
That is so good.
Huh?
Really one of the best movies I've seen in such a long time.
And she didn't get any awards for it.
It was nominated. It was up for some Oscars.
It got the makeup Oscar, but I don't think it got anything else. I just had sex and it felt so good. A woman let me put my penis inside her and then I just had sex. And I'll never go back.
That's wonderful.
The not having sex, ways of the past.
That's a Lonely Island song.
That is Tato. That's great. But good for him.
You know Andy Samberg from Saturday Night Live, yeah.
Yes, I know, but maybe he actually did. I'm taking him at his word.
Let's go with that.
Tato, good for you, dude.
I agree.
Hey, guys, we survived the asteroid that was going to hit the Earth.
Yay.
Yeah, a couple of people messaged me about that last week already. Because it was meant to hit us last Saturday, two Saturdays ago. Didn't happen.
Yeah, if you have some debt, I guess you still have to pay it.
Back to the same old, same old.
If you have a mother-in-law you don't like, you still have to deal with her. There's no way you can get past that.
All right, Eddie says he did his online radio show on Saturday, his first one, and his mother freaked out, subsequently gave him a lecture because he was introducing the new Alanis Morissette song on his show. I spoke about Alanis. Tit, she posted a pic of herself on Instagram, breastfeeding her baby and the whole family in bed. I love my mother, but maybe she should stop listening to my show in 2020. Radio's changed, especially online radio. We're more open-minded. Well, Eddie, everybody's trying to do shows now because there's the internet and you can. And maybe your mom's your only listener, so you should be grateful that she's listening. You know, I do love the way that because podcasting has such a low barrier to entry, everyone thinks they can do it. And then I get people telling me, oh, you know, they'll say, what do you do? And I'll say, we've got a podcast channel. We've got an online content business.
Mm-hmm.
Go, I've also got a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, really? How are you doing there? How's it going? How many shows have you done?
I try to do one every month.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, we've got about 10 people who listen, and it's great. You know, we're really doing very well.
I'm like, really? That's terrific. And I hate being in that category. You know, like, it's like when people used to say they were in radio. Some midnight DJ on like a community station in Vosloorus is telling me he's on radio. And then I would say to him, yes, you are on radio, but no one's paying you to do your show. And nobody would give a fuck if your show stopped. You know, it drove me crazy. Like, I don't know why it bothered me so much, because I think I largely have my ego under control. But it would just irritate me that suddenly I'm in this big box of rocks with a bunch of podcasters, in inverted commas, who really have done nothing spectacular. They do an interview with someone every 3 weeks or whatever, and they think that that's consistent. And, you know,
yeah.
I'm keeping it going. It's so difficult to keep this podcast going. I don't want to have those conversations. I'm entitled, I think, to feel like, yeah, we do something slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
You do a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, well.
So
does it tick you off because you feel like you put in more work? Or?
Well, I told you at the beginning of this, how many hours have we been doing this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've done, let's say a quarter of that. Let's say you've done 2,500 hours of shows. Cool. Then I'm happy to have you in my category, whatever you do.
You know what the trap is people think everyone can talk. So it's not like being
I thought you weren't even here until you started talking.
Well, I was just listening to you patting yourself on your back for...
Oh, thanks. Yeah. So it did sound egotistical.
Like, who's this guy?
All right.
So everyone thinks, oh, it's not a craft, because I can talk as well. It's not like quantum physics or...
Yeah.
When you watch an NFL guy, you're like, oh, okay, that's special. He's running the 100 meters in 9 seconds. So people think, oh, he can talk, I can talk, let's record it, I'm just as good. No. It's a craft, and you've put in your the 10,000-hour rule applies.
It's the same for YouTubers. You get these YouTubers who had channels before channels were even a thing. And they've been around for so long, and they've put in 3 or 4 a week of really good content of videos.
Right.
And now someone's got a few thousand subscribers, and they're also a YouTuber.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why YouTube started recognizing them as well, by giving them plaques for when they reach a certain amount of subscribers. And that kind of validates what they were doing. They would have their plaques behind them.
Right.
In their
it
videos.
Gives you the cred.
Let them be. It takes nothing away from
maybe
you.
Maybe I'm thinking about this because, you know, we've had the cartoonist Germ on a couple of times, and he's got his own show called Germ Warfare, which I'm going on tonight. We're doing it. I think it's an hour.
Oh, better wear a mask.
Yeah. I wonder how well that show's doing in the light of coronavirus. but I'm going on his show tonight, and I've been on a couple of these shows where, you know, I don't mind going on someone's show if they have a small audience, because it's an audience maybe I'm not reaching. And who knows? Maybe he wants to interview me because of X, Y, or Z. So I'm going to go on and we'll see what happens. But I've been thinking about this. Just, you know, how easy it is now. I mean, when we started off in radio, it was really hard to get a show. Any show. Even the midnight thing on a community station. Because there were only so many slots available. And then it became a little bit easier because you develop a reputation and you grow the audience and you advertisers want to spend their money there and all that kind of thing. And eventually you get to a point where, you know, you're one of maybe two of the big earners on the station.
Because really everyone is vying for like 8 jobs on a traditional station.
Also, people are in real life, people have side hustles of all kinds, right? Not just in entertainment. So you got people who are in banking, but they've got a property business on the side, or you know, they're in, I don't know, they're an auditor most of the time. And then they're also a trader. They trade stocks or currencies some of the time as well as a side hustle.
Mm.
So good for everybody who's doing that. And I know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do a podcast. For all we know, you could start a little podcast with five listeners and it could end up becoming a breakthrough hit. So, you know, don't stop.
But in everything that exists, 90% of everything in every industry is rubbish. There is only 10% that's worth it. So you've got to work hard. It's a craft.
Yeah.
It's a craft. People need to hear that.
Sean says, hey guys, you took a bit of a swipe at I, Tonya last week, but it's actually really good. Do yourself a favor. Yeah, that's the movie about Tonya Harding, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we were trying to figure out which Margot Robbie movie you were referencing. So I don't really think we were like putting it down.
Yeah, it was just the Margot skating Robbie movie. She's Australian.
Mm, that's right.
So makes her a little less sexy.
And she's got a proper Australian accent as well.
Yeah. I must find a clip of her sounding Australian.
Yeah, never really.
No, she's. I had a chance to meet her.
You met her in Cape Town.
Yeah, she's.
Just tell us all about. Boast a little bit. Go on.
Ooh.
So I used to chaperone people in that biz as a. What did you call it? A side hustle?
So
I used to do that, and I got to meet her. She's got a proper Aussie. Yeah, I looked after her for 2 weeks.
Wait, what did that... what do you have to do?
Show her around Cape Town.
Okay, you want to hear how she sounds when she's not putting on the American accent? Listen.
Hi, I'm Margot Robbie, and I'm going to teach you some Aussie slang.
Uh-oh.
Bludger. Okay, a bludger is like someone who's lazy. Fair income, kind of like, oh, far out. Good on you. Oh, good on you, mate. Like that. So he's a ripper of a party. Or he's a ripper of a bloke. Good. Hard yakka? Hard yakka's like hard work. I've never used...
Hard yakka. Listen, she's using horrible Australian terminology. I'm still completely... Have you got the visuals, I'm sold. This is the first time I've been able to put the Australian accent aside.
For a hard yakka.
Hard yakka. Yak, I had a hard yakka just thinking about you, Margot Robbie.
Use the word duvalaki in my life. I have no idea what it means. Oh, so if you crack on to someone, you're hitting on them. If you kiss too much and, like, your face is all red, you say you've got pash rash. What you call a thong, we'd call that a G-string or a G-banger. But thongs to us are your flip-flops. He's a crook. He's a criminal. I'm feeling crook. I'm feeling sick. Chuck a sickie? If you chuck a sickie, you're like calling in sick. A bottle-o is a liquor store.
A bottle-o. God, the Australians are funny. You've been there a couple of times, so you know some of these words.
Yeah.
A tinny.
Tinny can either be a boat or a beer can. Stubby, that's a bottle of beer. You're frothing for it, you're excited for it. You froth those, you really like those. Chunder, vomit, spew, throw up. Barbie, barbecue. Avo for avocado, arvo for afternoon. So, yeah, like... this arvo, we're going to go to the bottle-o, get a couple of tinnies. Dax, are you pants? Like trousers?
Dax, are you pants?
Your pants.
That's amazing.
And so if you dax someone, it's like when you run up behind them and you pull their pants down. Whinge, so if you're whinging, you're complaining, like you're whining. If you're a dag, you're kind of a dork or a goof or whatever. A bog is a shit or poop, as you would say in
America. A bog.
Wow.
It's amazing, Australians. All right, well, that's hot. It did not put me off.
She's actually still got a nice voice when she speaks.
She's gorgeous. Oh, my God. And she's really cleaning up. Like, what movies is she not in at the moment? She's apparently Hollywood's highest earning actress of last year.
Busy girl.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised.
So that'll bring the Margot Robbie conversation from last week to a full circle. Magic. Hey guys, I'm turning 29 this Friday. This is a message we've just got now. You can message us too. This is from Anonymous, 0797482090. I'm turning 29 this Friday. Ooh-hoo. Can confirm my knees are giving in. Is this normal at my age? I hate feeling old.
Oh. I had a friend whose knees started giving in at around that age. And I had another.
Really?
Yeah. I had another who.
Knees.
I know another who had arthritis from a very young age.
Ooh.
Another one who went through menopause in her 30s.
No, man.
Yeah, these things can happen.
Wow.
You take it for granted. You think all these things are going to happen one day.
No, stop it. How can you say things like this?
That has to be a bit hereditary. Like arthritis at 29.
Yeah, the arthritis thing I know of. But why are your friend's knees going? Tell him to stop powerlifting from the age of 6.
She certainly wasn't.
She wasn't powerlifting?
No.
Was she a big girl?
No.
Her knees. That's crazy.
She was actually Miss Parkhurst at one point.
Good Lord.
Well, that's one claim to fame.
Maybe from getting up and down the ramp so many times.
That's what Jolly Roger stairs will do to you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Sure. That's quite hectic, though. Okay. We got lots to get to today. Anthea's popping in, so we'll have the money shot. We've got the latest episode of Decrypto today. Mm-hmm. A bunch of things to get to. Who else is on?
We have the Bachelor update. We need to get into that.
All right, can we do this now? We don't have time now. We'll have to do it just now.
Mm. Let's get into it after 7.
I also have
seven.
A confession with regards to
I got another confession to make. What, you haven't been watching?
So the Bachelor in Paradise is still on.
Uh-oh.
And my time has been thin.
Oh.
So, and I'm so into Bachelor in Paradise, so it's like really in the thick of it.
Oh, I was keeping quiet waiting for you, Leanne, for so long.
Oh, sorry. I need to catch up. I will definitely.
Okay, I will admit that already 2 episodes in, I didn't think I'd get hooked in again for the second season too late.
Really?
I'm knee deep in the Bachelor again.
Okay, right. Good. Then I'm excited.
Sia's going to give us the update.
Silly, ridiculous, fun. I'm into it again.
Okay.
Well, here's a good point. Carl says, nobody ever talks about arthritis. It's much worse than arthritis because it sneaks up on you. That's a good point. All right, you want to get into the 5 things you need to know?
Okay.
Let's do it.
The Soweto Electricity Crisis Committee will on Sunday hold a mass rally to push back against Eskom's treatment of the township's 2 billion rand debt. The cash-strapped state entities come under fire in the community for disconnecting areas where payment is between 0 and 30%. Municipalities owe the utility close to 20 billion. Sorry, I said 2 billion? 20 billion. And Soweto accounts are the lion's share of that amount. Now, Pumi got very defensive because she's from Soweto. But I'm afraid I have very little sympathy because you know what happens to me if I don't pay my electricity? Guess what? Some man comes and he disconnects me. And you have to crawl on bended knees to go through glass and trash and fires to get to the right desk of the right person who can reconnect you after that.
Mm.
You're in big shit unless you pay Eskom every month.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that makes the people of Soweto so special. That they think that electricity is free or that they haven't been paying. And I know that there are people who have in Soweto, and they are obviously the people who are not being cut off. Because if Eskom is going, it sounds like they're doing whole areas, but they should be going house to house. You see, this is why it's important that people, first of all, own their own properties and have title deeds.
Yeah.
Hello, government, I'm knocking on your door again. Like, if people in Soweto have title deeds to the property that they already possess, let's say they've been there for a generation or two, there is no reason why they shouldn't have a title deed to that property. If they have a title deed to the property, they know it's theirs. Then you know where to get them. You know how to charge them. They know how to pay. Everybody's sorted. But if you just live on a piece of land, you don't own the title deed, you don't know who it really belongs to, I also wouldn't pay.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you know who to cut off? Because a lot of this stuff is just, oh, well, let's switch off this whole street. There could be someone on that street who's paying.
Yeah.
You don't punish them. But at the same time, if an area has got between 0 and 30% payment rate, sorry, guys, can't have everything for free. It costs money to make. Somebody somewhere is going to have to pay for that for you. And for how many years now, the rest of South Africa has footed the bill for Soweto. Why should we? Right? So what are residents going to do? Anyone want to guess?
Protest.
Yeah.
Light things.
Protest and light things. And guess what? Someone's going to either note this and take it down and say, thank you very much for your protest.
We've heard your concerns.
Right, and then carry on with their lives. Or it's going to build up and build up and build up, and then there'll be destruction, and that eventually gets government's attention, and then something might happen.
You know, we tend to get desensitized to stories like this because, I mean, protest is such a buzzword. And, you know, if it's not really affecting you directly, sometimes I think we just tend to overlook it. And I think that's the impact protesting tends to have as well with the powers that be. It's just like, yeah. Oh, it's another strike. Okay, sure. Business as usual. Then another protest. That's it.
Yeah.
But it screws up so many people who are just trying to get along. Go along to get along, man.
Yeah, well, if Soweto owes $18 billion, then a bunch of people haven't been paying for a long time. $18 billion, you know how long it takes you to get to a bill like that? Jesus. All right, and then Mpumalanga police have arrested another suspect in the murder case of a mother allegedly killed by her two daughters to get insurance money in Barberton and Mpumalanga.
That's a bit harsh.
You know, I think so. And you hear these horrible stories about people inside families. Please understand that we have a high murder rate and a high rape rate in this country. Please understand, before you start freaking out, most of this stuff happens in families. And most of the stuff happens between people who know each other. It's not some random person walking on the street who's going to walk into your house and kill you. It's like your husband or your wife or your daughter or your son. And here's another example of this. Some sick individuals out there, and guess what? They're in your family.
Uh-huh. How many people you got in your family, Sia?
Oh, a lot of killers.
Yeah. Lock your door.
A lot of killers.
Seriously.
Sure.
It's just unbelievable. So Dlamini, this is the person who was killed. Her two daughters were arrested for allegedly orchestrating their mother's murder. In a bid to get their hands on 80,000 rand in insurance payouts. Really? Your mom's life is worth 80,000 rand to you. And we wonder why people from all over the world look at us and go, what a bunch of barbarians live in that country. And I know this happens in other countries, but we're dealing with our own stuff here. And mm-hmm. we need to look it right in the eye and figure out what the hell's wrong with us. Kill your mother. Two kids sit there. It's like that kid here in Four Ways or something about 4 years ago. Also killed his parents for like insurance money. And they're going to find you, you idiot. And guess what? The insurance policy says if you kill this person on purpose to get the insurance money, you don't get the insurance mm-hmm. money. Now you don't have money because you're not going to get that payout. You don't have a mom and you're going to jail. Well done.
Those are three bad things.
Yeah, you dumbass. Anyway, this poor woman. Imagine she's lying there in bed and her own two daughters come to kill her. Fuck.
Can't understand that.
What a weird world we live in, man. Unbelievable. I if my parents, if they were worth millions, and if I knew I could get away with killing them, I'd still wait. You know what happens in the course of normal things? Your parents should die before you unless you're terribly unhealthy.
I was about to say, wait for what?
You just have to wait.
Oh, wait for them to die naturally.
Yes. You get some money. And until then, go out there and make a job. Get a job. Do something useful in the world.
Gareth, it sounded like you were going to wait for your parents to be in a vulnerable position.
Yes,
stick a knife in their kidney.
While they're bending over to pick up stuff on the floor.
Yeah, making scones for you on a Sunday.
Okay, I'm not the only one who was thinking that. I thought, what are you waiting for? Waiting for them to fall down the stairs.
Here's exciting news. The Democratic Alliance are going to have their elective Congress at the end of May. The party will elect a permanent leader and federal chairperson after the resignations of Musi Maimane and Athol Trollope last year. Current leadership wrapped up a two-day federal council meeting in Nkululeko House on Sunday. Interim DA leader John Steenhuisen admits the party's been hit by setbacks. Well, he did a really good reply to the State of the Nation address. If you do watch anything, I think it's only like 5 minutes long. But I actually watched the whole thing the other day. And you know, I'm as miserable about the DA as everybody, because I don't think they're looking very good. I think they're quite a badly run party at the moment. But this guy did a very good riposte to the president's State of the Nation. Go and take a look at it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. If you have 5 seconds, just look it up on YouTube. So that's the DA. Good luck, guys, with your conference, elective conference. Don't expect as much attention as the ANC when they have theirs. And then the Pope. Oh, the Pope has spoken out.
Oh, let's listen.
He's cautioned against unfair solutions aimed at ending the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians. That's all we need. An area riddled with religious conflict, and now the Pope's going to hop right on in there. You know what happened the last time the Catholic Church got involved in the Middle East? The fucking Crusades.
Yeah, the 4-1.
How about you just quietly get on with being prayerful and thoughtful in Rome, huh?
And not slap people's hands.
Oh, well, did you see what happened to the Pope in that clip? It's been going around for about 6 months now, but last year sometime, there was a woman in the crowd at the Vatican. And she was trying to shake the Pope's hand, but she was very excited. And he was turning around, and she grabbed his hand, and she wouldn't let go. And he pulled his hand away, and he, like, smacked her hand.
The Pope is very feisty.
But listen, if I were him, I'd have been just as fucking angry.
Yeah. It was kind of like a mom who's busy chopping up stuff on a board, and a kid's hand comes in to steal something.
It's just a swat.
Chop.
Yeah.
I would have hit her as well.
Have you seen the video of him not wanting people to kiss his hands as well? So the people just have this tradition of walking up to him and they hold his hands and they sort of do a bow as they greet him and then they lean forward to kiss his hands.
But he pulls his hand away.
Yeah, there's this...
I would too. And people's filthy fucking mouths in my hand.
I guess it was like a procession in church and he was giving blessings to people and... all of these people are standing in line, and every, like, third person or so wants to bow down and kiss his hands, and he just would swat them away.
Yeah, good for him.
He's very feisty, this Pope.
In an age of coronavirus, you can't afford to be the Pope and let everyone kiss you.
Oh, sure, but share a cup as a communion, because that's also fine.
Oh, I'm sure he has his own cup.
Sure. That's probably
because But doesn't he go first, and then he gives the communion to everyone else? Maybe if he has the coronavirus, he'll spread it around.
Drink this blood in remembrance of me and drink this blood to spread my disease.
It'll be all right. Yeah.
I like this Pope, though. I'm going to admit, like, as popes go, he's a good one.
What makes you say that?
Yeah, has he arrested any of the pedophiles that are being hidden in the...
No, they've got a huge problem there.
So what makes him better than...
I know. I'm saying in the line of popes, this one is doing a better job than most.
He's the worst of a horrible lot.
He's the best of a horrible lot.
Fair enough.
But he says that in a speech he delivered on Sunday, he's going to reflect on peace in countries bordering the Mediterranean Sea. He lamented the many areas of war and conflict, including the Middle East and North Africa. He spoke of unresolved conflict between Israelis and Palestinians, with the danger of not fair solutions and thus presaging new crises. Uh-huh. He didn't cite any specific proposals. Well, you better not, because you get involved in that stuff, Pope. You're just looking for trouble. Last story you need to pay attention to. Donald Trump is going on an official trip to India. He doesn't do a lot of these foreign trips, this Donald Trump, but here he is. He's off to India. And he's got a very...
He's really going to stick out like a sore thumb there.
I'm going to do a big deal. Big deal with Narendra Modi, right?
Yeah.
Do a big deal with him. Great guy. I like him. He's a great guy. So that's what's going to happen. There, I've just predicted the whole trip in one sentence.
He doesn't even have to go over there.
He's going to be a great guy. Yeah, he's going to be terrific. Okay. Ramita says the protesters in Soweto will continue to vote for the ANC. Morning, guys. Cheers to the week. Yeah, well, I think she's referring to the fact that it's basically the ANC government who are cutting off their power and who are asking them for their money, but they'll protest against that government and then still vote for them, and they don't see any dissonance between those three things. A lot of people are paying for electricity, but the municipalities are not paying Eskom. Yeah, that's true. Thank you, Chris. Have you guys talked about that Australian kid with dwarvism that wants to kill himself because of being bullied?
Yeah, I saw I actually couldn't watch the video. I saw the video thumbnail, and it said heartbreaking story of, or a heartbreaking moment that a child with dwarfism speaks to his mom about how he's being bullied.
And he wants to commit suicide.
And he just looked so exhausted and tired and sad that I couldn't watch it.
Well, turns out according to some stories, he's a 19-year-old. He's been around 19 years. He's a dwarf, but he's a rich kid, and then he's putting on a show. This is an act.
Oh, my word.
So, you know, you people, well, if you let yourself get caught up in these bullshit stories, you deserve to be misled.
Well, this is after well, they've raised money for him.
I don't feel sorry for anyone unless I know them. How about that's a good starting point? Yes.
Heal the world.
No, it's not. No, no.
Make it a better
place.
See,
you're going to feel bad about this guy, and then you're going to find out later that he's a con artist. And you're going to feel like an idiot, and I'm going to go, da-da-da-da-da, carry on with my day. I don't know this kid, if he's a kid. I don't know him. None of my business. Why am I going on the internet looking for reasons to get my heart rate up?
But why will you feel sad? Would you feel sad if it was an animal that was in crisis?
Well, unless I know the animal. Probably not.
Because I'm still thinking, for instance, I had a traumatic situation.
I mean, I don't watch that stupid video with the orangutan, and the orangutan's trying to push away the bulldozer. And I can't watch that shit. It's too traumatic. I just don't get involved.
Sounds like you went to dinner with six geese and four ducks.
I do that. I would rather do that than some humans, let me tell you. But I don't want to watch this stuff on the internet. You put yourself through that. Don't involve me and then ask me for donations. I'm sorry. Not my problem. If you go to some dwarf on the internet is going to be crying and you feel sorry for him, your business. Don't drag me in.
A person with dwarfism.
Someone says, no, Gareth, that is fake news that you're spreading. That is an actual dwarf and shame. Ah, please.
Oh, goodness.
I don't care. It's not my dwarf. It's not my problem. How about that?
Person with dwarfism.
Ah, whatever. We've had plenty of dwarves in here. They don't mind what you call them as long as you treat them like human beings. This kid, are you kidding? This is a big bullshit story, I'm telling you now. Plus, if the mother's filming him and putting on the internet, that means attention-seeking or seeing a way to money. I'm out. If this is Dragon's Den, I'm out! Not involved in your nonsense. Go and crave sympathy. Go and wheedle your way into other people's hearts. You're not getting into fucking mine. How about that?
Mm. Worst places to have dwarfism than Australia.
Really?
Australia's a great place. They look after actually, everyone.
Yeah.
Incredibly well.
In some countries.
You don't want to be in South Africa and be that guy.
Yeah.
We don't look after anybody in this country.
Oh, good point.
Yeah. Unless you're like really rich, we don't look after you. Australia looks after everybody.
There's a lot of compassion here this morning.
It is what it is, Sia.
Okay.
What do you want, huh?
For you and for me.
You go ahead.
Anti-human race.
And you world peace.
All right, very good. Now you've all entered Miss South Africa. Let's see if you can displace whoever the new... Who's the girl who took over from...
She has a hyphenated name as well. Yeah. Sasha something. Well,
that's okay. You never remember her. Da-da-da-da. Here it is. It's time for Anthea. Da-da-da-da-da. Everybody.
She works hard for the money.
Yes, she does.
So hard for it, honey.
And Thea.
She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
She works hard for it, honey. Hey, Anthea, what's up?
Good morning.
Are you good?
I am. I've spent good. The entire weekend in bed, though. I was sick.
Oh.
My first day out.
Sick of who?
Sick and tired.
The corona?
You make me sick.
No, a lot of people were sick. I found out this weekend a whole lot of my friends were like bedridden and had colds and something's going wrong.
Sore throat, ears, eyes. Oh,
right.
Feeling very sorry.
But
for
it's not
myself.
Coronavirus.
I don't know.
Oh, well, then you shouldn't have come.
How would I know? Tell me how I'd know.
You,
nobody has said to me, if you have this, that, and that, then you might have coronavirus.
Well, they've said, okay, so dry cough.
Uh-oh.
Fever. And...
Your temperature goes up.
Yeah, that's
what,
fever.
What are the three?
Oh.
Anyway, I've got an update from Dr. Mike, which we can look at after 7.
All right. But in the meantime, I know you probably spread it now. Okay, so first of all, is coronavirus still affecting the markets?
Absolutely, yeah. Completely taken hold of the markets. I think
because China's like shut down.
Basically, right?
I know people in Hong Kong and they're not doing anything right now.
Coal consumption, daily coal consumption in China is down 50%. Now, coal is very seasonal. But, yeah, 50%. Passenger traffic is down 83%. It's absolutely
ghost
crazy.
Ghost trains everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. And it's happening in Europe now as well. I saw this morning or late last night, there was a Austrian train that stopped, Austrian authorities stopped an Italian train from coming into Austria. They're shutting down their borders now. So it's a real issue. And there was a graph this week that showed for the Spring Festival travel, in its peak, it hit 20 million travelers per day. That was last year. This year, it's not even 2 million. Peak is not even 2 million. Okay,
The spill over into industry and manufacturing and everything else is going to be quite severe, I'm sure. And we're not going to be able to count that now. It's going to be months down the line.
And I think economists are now starting to downgrade economic growth as well.
For China?
Not just for China, because the spillover effect, as you say, it happens. It starts in China, then goes to Europe, Asia, Africa, US. It'll be everywhere. Of course, the People's Bank of China are not scared, to stimulate their economy.
Oh, no, they'll use whatever gears are in their immediate vicinity.
Absolutely. Last week, they cut the one-year prime lending rate from 4.15% to 4.05%, which doesn't seem a lot, but I think it is actually, because before that, they cut the five-year rate as well, mm-hmm. and the week before that, they cut the repo rate. So really, they're jumping on it. They're keen to kind of keep the economy or try and keep the economy going. But I think even if consumers have money in their pockets because interest rates have been cut, I can't imagine them going out and shopping to spend it.
Yeah.
I've seen pictures of Europe. Everybody seems to be wearing masks. Like, nobody in Africa is doing that, or are we? Am I not seeing it?
It's not going to make a difference. What? Masks are a complete waste of time.
Yeah, Italy's had a massive outbreak. I don't know if you're aware of that. So Italy's got a serious problem. 152 people have died in Italy of coronavirus. That's very real.
Let me tell you something. If it does come here, as Bill Gates said the other day, we can expect huge death tolls just because people already have compromised immune systems and because people have lung problems. Like, we know TB is a major killer in this country. So if you have TB and this thing hits,
we've got a lot of public transport.
Yeah, you're in big shit.
Densely populated areas.
So just let's just hope it doesn't come here in any big, ugly shape, way, or form.
Sorry, just to correct that, three people have died, but 152 cases have been.
You know what? That's fake news.
I was ready to say like 162 people.
Not you.
Dead.
Not you. You were fake news.
Thanks, CNN.
Thank you.
How many people in total have died? Is it 2,000 now or somewhere around there? Do you know?
In China.
In the world.
Don't ask him because he's just got it wrong.
Yeah, 2,619. The number of people who've recovered from it is 24,963.
Oh, so it's not that bad.
And the total number of confirmed cases is at 79,360.
Stop the presses. Please show everyone the screen you're working from.
It's part of my stories after 7.
Leanne has like this, like four different columns. She has a world map all. Mm-hmm.
She's very organized.
Decked out in red.
That's why you don't believe Mulelo. You believe Leanne.
Wow, this is like something James Bond would have.
Let's go back to someone else we can believe, and that's Anthea. So what's our domestic economy looking like? It's budget week.
It is budget week, so I'm very nervous. I seem to be the most negative of all the people I speak to about budget week, actually. Our CPI inflation came out at 4.5% for January last week. Previously, it was 4%. So this is a year-on-year number, and I think what happened with this was that January 2019 was a particularly low inflation month because petrol had fallen by 10% or something. And so I'm not that worried about this 4.5% number that we're showing this year. Like, everyone's like, oh, look, our CPI inflation is increasing. No, it's not. Calm down. The budget, I said it at the last budget, Tito has to break the trend. You know, there's a horrible trend of growing fiscal deficit, just all the wrong kind of things happening. And he has to somehow break the trend. And the question is how he does it. And I'm not sure how to do it. Like, I thought about all sorts of things, like Prime Minister Modi banished cash 2 years ago in India so that he would stop corruption. But actually, it didn't work. So it's like 99% of the cash found its way back into the system and people started trading with cash again. There's a drama there. We think we're going to get a VAT increase. So hold your horses for that. You can't avoid that. and then I think it's just going to be ugly. And then a couple of weeks later, we've got Moody's. Already last week, Moody's lowered our growth forecast to 0.4% for the year, for 2020. Not that I think that's an indicator that they're going to downgrade us. I think they're just aligning their growth forecasts with everybody else. They seem to be way ahead of everybody else for some crazy reason. But I can't see them not downgrading South Africa.
Sure.
It's going to be a big couple of weeks for South Africa. And then you know what will happen. Moody's will downgrade us. We'll have a knee-jerk reaction. The rand will blow out. And then everything will go back to normal. Well, we're already trading like junk
traders. They've priced it in, yeah.
Exactly. It's priced in.
Okay, well, that's great. Thank you so much, Anthony. We're feeling great. Now, can we get into some company news?
Sure. So, so probably big company news, or some of the biggest company news last week. Chris Griffin, who was the CEO of Anglo Platinum, stepped down pretty much at a high because the week before he had reported outstanding results. He's being replaced by Natasha Viljoen. And everybody, you know this headline, which I hate. First female CEO of Anglo. Like, okay, can we stop that now? Anyway, she's got more than enough experience. She comes from processing, so the processing division in Anglo American, not Anglo Platinum. And before that, she was in Lonmin. So she's done her time. She's got like 28 years in mining, and she's definitely the right person, I think, to take over from Chris Griffith. But it was a nice surprise to see him. Not nice surprise, but big surprise. Obviously, finishing on a high. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of other mining companies reported. Glencore, they just were not beneficiaries of the higher PGM metal. So they make two-thirds of their revenue from coal, copper, and zinc, which is down 23%, 7%, and 10% respectively. And so you can imagine that wasn't a great result. The flip side of that was Sibanye, who, by the way, have changed. If you're looking for them on the JSE, on the stock exchange, they're now no longer SGL, which used to stand for Sibanye Gold. They're now SSW, Sibanye Stillwater.
Okay.
So their ticker, their JSE ticker's changed. Mm-hmm. This was really a story of two halves. So the first half, Sibanye had lots of strikes in their gold operations. They basically hemorrhaged cash. Balance sheet came under massive pressure. Net debt to EBITDA peaked at 3.2 times for the first half. Then in the second half, the strikes ended. They saw a continued rally in the PGM prices. Revenue increased by 110%. So suddenly a fantastic kind of set of results. Very, very good. I was listening to Neil Froneman speaking about where he thinks palladium, rhodium are going, and he seems to think that 5 to 6 years it'll carry on. Now, I'm not nearly as bullish.
Karen going up and up.
Up and up. Bullish, and in fact, my crystal ball doesn't go out to 5 years. But I think for the next 6 months, we're fairly confident that it'll continue.
Well, listen to this. Here are the 10 biggest platinum producers in the world. First one, Anglo American Platinum, we were just talking about. Then Impala Platinum, then Lonmin, then a company in Norway, then Aquarius, which is also in South Africa and Zimbabwe, then Northam Platinum Limited, they're also in South Africa. Sibanye Stillwater at number 7, also South African. Vail SA, which is also, guess what, part South African, but it's also
Brazilian
and Canadian, apparently. Then Glencore. Mm-hmm. So isn't that interesting?
Look up the world. So Sibanye is the world's largest PGM. So palladium, rhodium, not platinum, but they're definitely the biggest
platinum metal group.
Yes, the group metal producer. It was interesting to hear Froneman say that they're now moving or looking at buying copper and cobalt assets. And I think he's just playing on this electric car story again, isn't he? And you know, we said this a couple of years ago, that he was either going to be an absolute disaster or the star of the mining industry. Right now, he's shining fairly brightly, I must say.
All right, good. Let's talk a little bit about Discovery.
Sure, this was a big disappointment. Group profit fell 11% to 2.07 billion rand. Normalized profit was down 7%. So we normally look at the normalized profit. Vitality Life fell 140, their profit fell 145% to a loss of 134 million rand. So here's the story with Vitality or Discovery, is that because interest rates in the UK were falling, they tried to hedge themselves against it, and their hedge wasn't perfect, cost them a lot of money, and basically has now cost them their profit.
Sure.
So they got that very wrong. They've managed to keep their interim dividend unchanged at 1 rand and 1 cent. I mean, I guess the big thing with Discovery, the one thing that everyone's watching as well, is the bank, right?
Yeah.
They now have 78,000 clients, 180,000 accounts, and they say that deposits have grown to 1.2 billion rand, because that's the thing about banking, is that you are deposit-taking and you pay people a nominal interest rate, and then you lend out that money at a higher interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
They have said, Discovery have said, that they're spending a billion rand on this bank.
Sure.
Yeah,
is it going to be worth it?
Well, that's the question. That's the question I have. So analysts seem to be quite comfortable with it. And all the reports I read from the sell-side analysts, and these are the people who provide research to us, like the big banks, the analysts seem quite happy that Discovery is spending this money and that it's not a big hole in their balance sheet. But I'm not sure that Discovery Bank is your next Capitec. Like, their market is so small compared to a Capitec or a Time even.
Mm.
I can't imagine that would be the right thing to do. Anyway. And then some retailers reported as well last week, and again, two very different stories. First one, Truworths, revenue for the first half rose to 11 billion rand from 10.9, so marginal, but still a decent increase. And they're saying retail sales fell 0.4% year on year.
Mm.
But and the only problem really is this office, which is a UK-based shoe retailer, which is, I mean, they may as well mothball this thing as far as I'm concerned. It's just been such a drag. And then they're blaming, of course, Brexit and retail in the UK. But other than that, it seems Truworths really have just managed to produce a decent set of results in a very tough economy. So even though retail sales, as I said, was down by 0.5%, they seem to manage to keep their margins fairly stable, and some places even a slight improvement. On the other hand, we had Woolworths. Oh, this was a shocker. I mean, just, there was nothing right about this. You know, David Jones is probably their biggest issue. We saw EBITDA down 57%. And so we use EBITDA, not revenue, because you want to see earnings as opposed to how much money you generate. You want to see what happens to your margins or your profit, rather. 57% it was down for the half, yeah.
Sure.
So just not a great set of the results. And then to make it worse, Woolworths are having to cut their interim dividend.
I know.
Yeah, and you know, when companies start cutting dividends, we worry.
Yes.
We like cash in hand. We like the option of cash.
All right.
So, yeah.
Thank you, Anthea.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
I don't know if we should thank you for all this bad news.
Oh,
just chase you out of the studio with a pitchfork.
No, it's really not my fault. I'm just reporting on it.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you, no doubt, after the budget. Find out what you think of that.
Sure.
All right.
She's not excited about
Thursday. I'm not sure, because I'm traveling on Thursday. We'll figure it out. I'll call you from somewhere.
Yeah. Even if we get you on the line. Thanks, Anthea.
Cheers.
Very good. Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot. You can find out all about what's going on in the economy once a week with Anthea on The Money Shot. Coming up in a little while, we'll get into some news. Bolelo's got some sport. Plenty to talk about. I hope your day's off to an awesome start. Sia, you've also got some stories for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's very excited. Sia never gets bored. You don't, right?
I amuse myself.
No, I mean, you find all of this stuff very exciting.
I'm like one of those birds who you can leave with just a tiny mirror in their cage.
Yes. And
they're just amused by their reflection.
You definitely need the mirror. Couldn't just be a ball or something.
No.
It needs to be reflected.
Pretty bird, pretty bird. That's me.
All right, lots of stuff to get to. CliffCentral.com.